in terms of this particular program that the less we live, it looks as if diabetes are less than a certain threshold. The monthly income and disposable income should be less than a certain threshold. And the data currently in New Zealand should not have been admitted to the UNAM process. And in England and Wales, it should have been admitted to the program in the last year. So they apply different rules in the three countries. Then we order our subject certain restrictions with respect to individual behavior. If the data set is not entirely relevant to policy, if you change the circumstances, you recently, you know, got a job or acquired an asset, and it's not going to be relevant to policy, there's an offense, that is an offense committed, there's an offense that has been committed, and the maximum prison term of 1 year has been imposed, and or a maximum fine of 50,000 rand. But if the debtor adheres to all the requirements of the NINA process, then the debt are discharged. So you need to be truthful as a debtor. If there are changes in your circumstances in your life, then it is important that the relevant authorities are notified of these changes. In New Zealand, this happens after 12 months of the insertion of the process, that is, in terms of the debt discharge. I suggest we go to the recommendations now, but a different slide, I would, yeah. We've got a different slide which I would request the committee members to have to look at the screen at this point. Because we said external evaluation and we send out the presentation and look at, you know, other ways of introducing the consciousness in South Africa.
We do get this, you know, we work in mind as a one-member shop in this winter. And so we've got Dr. Herman's run around, and we will get this lovely, and hopefully before we buy. Thank you. But let's just focus on the overhead.
Now, we have looked at what happens in other countries and how they have introduced their relief programs and their forgiveness programs, and we said, you know, let's look at our situation, you know, in the country to see how or what we can do. Now, the proposal that we have for consideration is to look at the, you know, the NINA data program, which is about individuals who have no access and no income. But we need to do, you know, more detailed research, you know, on this particular program. And we might find that in terms of the other considerations that they're proposing that might be in address, you know, the NINA data program. And then we look at, we might propose that we also look at the student loan forgiveness program. This could be instances where students are not able to graduate because, you know, they are trying to pay their fees and therefore cannot get a job. Or they are failing to re-register because they don't have enough money, you know, to pay for that. And therefore, we are suggesting that that's a plan that the reason of an extra absorb the cost. Obviously, there will have to be extensive, you know, engagement with the network and department of education around that. So in all these programs that, these considerations that they are proposing, you know, there has to be extensive engagement with key, you know, relevant key stakeholders in each one of them. And then we are also suggesting that the African Bank guidebook be written off, because collections are still taking place in as far as that book is concerned. We are in a situation where even, you know, consumers in general are very overindexed, they are fresh. And therefore, it will really provide a good relief for those consumers who are already struggling to have this debt discharged. Let's also look said that we change mind and thinking with us, because that's where most of the patients are taking place. And we are suggesting that even in this particular program, whether the patient happens, that the day is written off, and we should look at UIF and the National Peer Fund to absorb the cost. And we are also proposing more children on the treatment of the prostate detox. As indicated, everybody is very fresh. So, in terms of all or most of these programs, we are really recommending a one-off, really, so that we avoid a situation where people sit back and, you know, decide they're not going to pay back at that because government will, you know, will discharge that debt in a few years' time. So this is proposed to be a one-off initiative. And the proposal therefore is further, you know, you have more details to say, engage with relevant stakeholders in all of these programs that we are committing. I thank you.
Thank you very much, CEO. Right, now, because this, I'm going to ask Ms. Medina to circulate the text to you. And now we have an opportunity, by the way, I believe the team may arrive. Ms. Malani, can you just check our time there, please? This is an opportunity for us to begin our first engagement purely on the slide. We have come up to us before.
There's two other slides on recommendations that they don't offer.
What the CEO is a current slide replaces 13. Hang on, not 13, replaces 12. Am I right? I hope I'm right. A current slide replaces 12. Is that right?
Thank you. do is we're going to focus here on what is over here, which I don't believe is in the printed pack. Am I right, Ms. Adelani? It's not there. We will ensure you have this by tomorrow, early afternoon. If we can't, it's during the committee. And then what we're going to be doing is we're going to be raising our comments, questions. This is the time to do it, all right? It's just coming up to 9 o'clock, and then we will come to some form of closure at about 20 to 10 so that we can deal with committee business for a few minutes. All right, by show of hands, we have Honourable Williams, Honourable Phil Lewis, at the moment.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to talk on your recommendations. They're very nice, and they look all fantastic. But we need definitely massive engagement with the relevant stakeholders so that we can see the feasibility of these recommendations. So I hope that that's going to take place. I'd also like to talk about the responsibility of the rector's lender to also take some of the responsibility of writing off some of that debt. And I think that we'd reduce rector's lending if we made those lenders accountable with government for debt forgiveness, say 50-50, or it could be even more to government and less to the private sector. But I think that if we had an environment where a rector's lender may end up having to write off the debt that they've recklessly lent, then I think that rector's lending would be curbed quite substantially, and should also look into that, how we can make the private sector also pay for some of this debt that they actually created in a very reckless manner. In particular, when it comes to low-income, low-assets, that Nina puts, I think that a lot of poor people are accessing debt quite easily, and I think that we need to curb that quite substantially, and I think making the private sector partially responsible would be the way forward there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Williams. Honourable
Hill-Lewis. Just before I ask my questions, my understanding is that if debt agreement is declared reckless, the debt is forgiven. Is that not the case?
Right, no, hang on. Respond.
Can you just clarify that? That is my understanding.
Thank you, Chair Session. Yeah, it is partially, they can write it off on structure. So the timing of the cost we have to.
So I mean, to my mind, some of the recommendations that you've made, especially around the African Bank bad book, which is millions of people, I've long asked you in this committee, my sense is that the huge majority of that bad book will be reckless credit. There might be some that were not reckless credit and sure went bad, but the huge majority of it will be reckless credit, almost by definition. So all of those people should have their credit agreements referred, and there should be an application to have that debt written off. And that would be an enormous, enormous step forward. The proposal that you make on the two sides that are in here, but not on there, I actually agree with. I really think that we should expand the powers of the regulator so that we don't have to rely so much on the tribunal. And then my one concern about these no income, no asset debtors, if you look at some of the programs that you find it, is that it does, or there's a risk that it creates perverse incentives whereby people who have changing circumstances are either incentivized not to report those, or even worse than that, are incentivized actually not to change their circumstances. So, for example, you'll have people who, because they have a great deal of debt, and the only way that debt can be forgiven is for them to be unemployed, it's actually an incentive to not go out and look for work, which I think is something that we need to be careful of. And for me, I think the easiest work that we can do right now with the biggest impact would be to work on the African Bank bad book. That is millions of consumers, most of them is reckless credit. And if we
Do you recall that? I think you were in the meeting with us when we met with the Reserve Bank in this committee. And I asked the Reserve Bank, have they gone through each one of those credit agreements and determined whether that agreement was correct or not? And they said to me that they had. They've never been able to prove that they have. I'll take them at their word for it. But even if they have, why haven't we then made application for those to be declared as credit?
Thank you, Honourable Bill Lewis. Honourable Antosh.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hear what MC is saying, and I agree with the proposal, but I just want to check the possibility of us proposing for student loan forgiveness program. When we look at the amount of money that are paid over Genesis 70 that are being raised year to year, where would we think that money would come from? Just when they came out of the car. What should we do? I'm trying to say we should not make the recommendations that we'll never realize in the results to the community out there. Because we look at the amount of MSF currency that has been raised, money that is created from other programs currently. When we raise that all that, we think they could do more. Where would the money come from?
Thank you very much. One of the reasons I, notwithstanding some of the challenges around the student loan forgiveness program, one would rather look at the wording that in any case to say graduate. I think the student loan forgiveness program would need to be a broad issue. I certainly believe graduate. You've graduated, you're ready for the job market, you're ready to get a job, but because you haven't paid off the debt, you may not get that degree. And I think I'm not saying that there were challenges along the way with perhaps the student. But I am saying, on the one hand, we have a priority, cut unemployment. And on the other, we have these young people coming out who can't get their degree. So I think there may be a need to reduce that broad thing, student loan, to perhaps at this point look at graduate. Yes, Honourable Minister.
Sorry, Chair, I just missed this out. The third bullet or the fourth bullet point talks to retain mine and steel workers. I think we should make that not voluntary retrenchment, because people might get in massive debt and then ask for the package, the retrenchment package. So it must be a forced retrenchment of mine and steel workers. And we should also look at other workers. We shouldn't just call it mine and steel workers. Lots of people are getting retrenched or over. And the specific criteria to get this relief, this forgiveness, must be very, not broad, it must be narrow, so that we can, it must be poor workers, it must be people that really can't afford it. They never, the money's never, they're never going to be able to pay back that money. So we've really got to also watch out for what Honourable Hill Lewis talked about, was the incentives not to get work or the incentives not to pay back my debt. For instance, if it was myself and Honourable Hill Lewis in debt and Honourable Hill Lewis got debt for forgiveness, what would be my incentive to carry on if I thought I deserved debt forgiveness as well? So we've also got to look at that. And in the report, the bigger report, the text, it talks of those challenges, and we need to have more research, more than just on the internet. We need to actually have somebody telling us what implications there are, because we don't want to create a situation where we relieve the debt of, say, 4 million people, and then the other 10 million people stop paying because they say they deserve it. So we could end up in a worse position than we are now. So we need to look at that very seriously. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you. Is there any other member who wishes to comment, raise a question? No, not at this point. So over to yourself, Stephen, from the National Credit Regulator, of course, trading industry as well.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you for those questions from the Honourable Members. Honourable Lewis little comment around the letter of Uganda NCA. And yes, definitely I think if our power is extended, you know, we'd be able to do, you know, a lot of those programs that you highlighted. And I think it would really make a huge difference to millions of consumers if we were to be able to go ahead, you know, with the conditions that we are making under the, you know, that we under the NCA. And in terms of NESCAD, the student loan forgiveness graduate, I agree. I think we need to focus on specific groups, you know, of people. The graduate loan forgiveness program, we would need to engage with NESCAD. It's something that I believe, you know, we cannot, the DGI, you know, NCR cannot do alone. I think we definitely need to have that engagement with NESCAD and the Department of Education. So extensive, you know, consultation and engagement with those key stakeholders is going to become, you know, necessary. I think what I can, can you respond to someone?
Yeah, thank you, Shizu. We appreciate the comments by Honorable Williams at the English, and I think that they did comment insofar as they say the private sector must also come to the party where the loans are regulated. But the problem that we have now as the regulator is our powers. We've lost a very big case against the Capital Bank. The tribunal and the court say, before we investigate, we must have reasonable suspicion that there is ongoing. And we will not be able to detach our function if we are required to have that kind of suspicion. I mean, you take, for example, the case of Louis. The pensioners would not know that they shouldn't be paying for the retrenchment car. And recently, there was not much complaints in the FDR because they don't know. Our job is to go there proactively, look at their own books and look at where the problems are. So in addition to the proposal that we are making for the forgiveness, we would also appreciate that if our powers could be extended for us to be able to investigate proactively without complaints, and secondly, to be able to impose penalties so that when the lenders appeal either to the High Court or the tribunal, they appeal the penalties that we have already imposed, not the investigation that was submitted. Because currently it takes a long time for an investigation, a referral to be had, where we haven't even imposed the penalty, it takes a year for such. And I don't think we can afford to wait this too long. Thank you.
Did you like Donald?
Sorry. No, thank my addition is on the usage of terminology, like writing off. Writing off, as we know, is for a particular purpose for the institution that is writing off, maybe for tax purposes and other issues. But it doesn't mean that the creditor cannot come back and institute an action against the debtor. Having said that, there are attitudes, a lot of attitudes that it needs a protracted action of, say, the leadership of the DGI, NCR, and the political leadership, that we may engage stakeholders, different the banks, and we'll go with a particular proposal to say this class of people, because of these economic conditions, what would they should have. So it is not too legalistic. A matter of moral position. That is my comment. Thank you.
Just in response to the comment about reasonable suspicion, I don't know if the court defines what reasonable suspicion is, but in the African Bank case, you found reckless lending in one of their branches prior to the collapse, because it was more than one of their branches. So that, for me, is more than enough reasonable suspicion to inspect their whole loan book, especially the bad book. So, I mean, I don't know if that is outside of what courts, I haven't read the judgment, so I don't know what the court defined as reasonable. reasonableness with reasonable suspicion. But to my mind, it's quite easy to show reasonable suspicion for most of these banks. Probably just need one or two complaints.
Thanks, Chair. I also would just like to say that I support Honourable Hillhurst's support of the recommendations, and I think these recommendations, I'm talking about the ones that you didn't read out, the ones on the slides that we've got on page 12 and 13, to extend the powers of the NCR. We support those. Thank you, Chair.
We also, note the other comments that were made by the honourable members, and we will make sure that we, amend our presentation to include, those inputs, because they are quite important. Thank you.
Is that the
MSRO? Now. Thanks. Now that there is a support for amendment, the DTI will have to be taken it, and then if there are time frames we need to hold, but I'm just raising it because it will fall on our heads. Thanks.
Yeah, one would imagine that we may need to look at a two-phase approach here. What is it that we can deal with without amendment to the principal legislation? Is there anything? Is ring fence that? Deal with it. And then identify that which requires amendment, per se. I think that would be my proposal to the committee. But I am aware that there is, when the minister does have the power, if I recall, of asking Sir Herman just for the main legislation at that point, but the minister has the power to regulate within the Principal Act, and there may be some of these areas that we could look at within the regulation. I'm saying this all to the adult DDG as well as the DG. I'm looking at, for example, the graduate loan issue, the write-off in that respect. I do think, though, that this issue raised by himself, Honourable Mark Tush, it's yourself who's raised that. We do, and this is hence this robust engagement that you will embark on there. The other area is the ditch with respect to retrenched workers from the mine and steel industry. I think you mentioned this, well, I read it somewhere, one of the two, that the UIF has got a significant amount of funding, and therefore UIF, we're not looking at a major challenge here if this was to go through, and engagement with labour in this regard, and also the National Skills Fund. Again, you're addressing the issue of unemployment, which is a priority in the 9-point programme. But that feels vanilla. Now, we didn't really have too many references to that, other than possibly was it the African bad hit. And one does recall that, but I think GG and perhaps the CEO, you may be able to help. I think that the Reserve Bank definitely is involved in this kind of situation, as I understand it. And we need to know, gave this the mandate of trading industry, all right? We understand that. But given the relationship with the African Bank, and that falls under a different treasury and reserve, there has to be a way that we engage on the matter. And we're not talking about a billion, we're talking about how much? Just a fan, how much are we talking about? 10 billion. It's a major amount, and I imagine that could have been the reason why it was left alone and ring-fenced. But I don't want to put words into the mouths of those who took a particular position. But in that, I think the big issue coming out of the committee is, I just want to get to some members,
We support in principle the grace of loan forgiveness. Do we have absolutely no opposition here? It's on all my touch followed by the Honourable Gil Lewis.
Chair, I would support the proposal in the language.
Honourable Gil Lewis?
Chair, this has already works in a way that if you pass your courses during while you're studying, it's not if you pass, I think it's if you get more than 60%. You get that course, the day that course is written off becomes a scholarship. So that's a positive incentive for students to work very hard to get more than 60%. My hesitation at writing off the entire fee is that this fact must still function, must still be able to make money in such a way that it can support other students. And that's why they have appointed the head of bank to do it, because this fact must operate like a bank, although it must do so in a way that provides cheap finance to students in a kind of soft loan way. So it has to be done in such a way that this fact can still achieve its mandate. And not in such a way that it can only be for 1 year and then it's got no more money.
Honourable William?
The recommendations, the four five recommendations up there, I think that during the vigorous engagement with the stakeholders, these issues will arise. For instance, it's all very well to say we're going to write off the debt of British Mine and Steelwood is using the UIA. But I don't know if the Department of Labour will be so keen on that. And so with the vigorous engagement, then we can start looking at those nitty-gritties. But I think what we as a committee should do is we should say those are the four or the five proposals, and we support those proposals, and we request the NCR to go to the relevant stakeholders and then come back to us and say, well, we can do this, and we can't, or whatever happens, the outcome of those engagements. Because here we can argue all day about these things, but in real terms, the real way forward will be after the engagement with the relative stakeholders thing.
Yes, I do get that. Now, in my absence, I'm just wondering, Honourable Clarko, was the issue around the e-toll tackled at all? Trying to avoid the subjective approach, because clearly I do come from Kaching and I do certainly pay all my e-tolls. That's as a law-abiding citizen. But however, on the e-toll issue, the kind of issues you may wish to ask here is the administration thereof. As we all are aware, there are already incentives within the e-toll program to say it's 60% if you pay X toll. And that's how many years later, it's 5 years later or so that we're getting that kind of thing. The cost of administering the e-toll may well, in this case, even be persuasive with them. It may cost much more to continue to administer than for some other measure to be considered. So one would ask you in discussing this with the relevant authority there to look at this. On the other hand, you wouldn't want this to encourage others to default, coming back to both what the Honourable Hill Lewis spoke about, reverse incentives, you know, in yourself, Honourable Williams. So, but if we take all of these factors into consideration, I know there's very little time. But sometimes when there's very little time, it's amazing how much can be done in that, and I've seen that happen. We really would like this focus on, per se. And we'd like, though, tomorrow to look at, and I did see that, Honourable Tongwani, I want to look at the committee tomorrow, some of the issues around powers. You know, you mentioned, well, at the moment, we can't even go into that field. We can't just work on some slight suspicion. We've got to have something more than that in order to investigate. What are these other powers that you may be requiring? We need to hear a little bit more about them. acknowledge it, we're not going to take a decision on that before we rise at the end of May. But rather, we're going to make a plan to go forward on the matter. I have asked Ms. Hermans to make available to all members again the principal legislation of the, you know, governs the NCLOG plus the regulations thereof. And we also have a lawyer here tomorrow to advise us on the situation. So on that particular note, giving yourselves, I think, Mr. Tangwani, is that correct? Do you wish to say something?
No, I never said my name before.
DG, do you may wish to just come in at this point, please?
No, thanks. I think we'll, thanks for that advice and your guidance on the land. I think we'll definitely, with the NCR, work expeditiously on this. And then, as you indicated, a big issue will be the engagement with the relevant stakeholders, and especially those who will be affected by the writing up of the debt. And as said, we'll hear all the concerns, all the issues they raise, and then feed that back to you and give your opinion on those matters. But I think we will definitely engage with all the players. I think the one thing to mention is, especially with the African Bank one, they of course, and especially where they are private credit holders, they obviously have rights to their credit. I mean, so we cannot just arbitrarily write off debt because somebody else has to pay that. So clearly that must be the main consideration, that we appropriately apportion the right of property. So I think we'll give proper and sound advice on that.
Right. Honourable
Hill Lewis? I just want to come back to that African Bank matter, because you may recall here when we had the Reserve Bank in our committee, I asked them specifically about the bad book, and I can't recall offhand how long ago that was. That was a while ago. No, not quite that long, but at least 18 months. And they have made no application to the tribunal for that ad book to be declared as director's credit. So it calls into question whether in fact they have done what they told us they were doing in this committee. And I have my doubts. So if we really want to make a huge impact in reasonably quick time, we can start with that ad book and take it to the tribunal and get it declared as reckless. And then, as the DG quite rightly says, we can't do it arbitrarily, but if it's done by the tribunal, then there's proper procedure, and then there can be no arguments.
That may be a point. It was quite right 18 months ago, it was in the good chamber there. We do need to get that. There was a commitment. We will ask Mr. Medina to pull out our minutes relating to that, see exactly what occurred at that time. And then we will put that together for next week to try and fit in, and I'll discuss with Manco the feasibility of getting the Reserve Bank here, Honourable Kalako, you know, as soon as possible, in that ring-fenced regard. Alright? Are you all on board with that? Thank you. And then, members, we have just in the meantime had the program, the revised program, handed up. And thank you once again for being here. The committee business, the issues around Transnet, a number of members contacted me. And of course, I do also read the papers and keep a bit for the news. And the issue that came up under localization, you will recall, we have already agreed that there will be a colloquium on this matter. Do you recall that? The localization issue. Because we said it's not just a matter of bringing in Transnet per se, but all of the relevant, many of the relevant stakeholders as possible, and try to get a clearer understanding as to what is holding back. We already know from SAS, I think it was SAS, that you tender for something and you say, I have got 70% local, got all 70%. Only if you win that chamber, will you be obliged to now very quiet? It's almost a best-to-front approach, because you may then, when it's very quiet, it could work out to be 50% or less. And somebody who didn't win the tender may have had 60. So, it's, we do need to look at that, and we are. So issues, if you read about localization, by all means, refer them to us so that the committee can take them up during the colloquium period, which will only take place after we return in August. But what we are doing before we rise is we've asked Ms. Sheldon to prepare the terms of reference for the colloquium so that there will be members who want these companies to come. There will be perhaps a consultant we may need to engage with respect to this. And ETI to also take their own program of activities in the CIGAR. We would also want the NCOP to, as far as possible, join us in the matter, and perhaps even invite the chairs of economic development of the provinces, so that when ETI addresses the issue, they're not having to run around the country. They can do so within Parliament. So we will plan on that, and we will have that ready before we rise, with respect to localization and the verification thereof. Then there is the other matter that has been off and on the radar, and that is the National Regulator for Compulsory Sex. As a matter of fact, when we went to do our oversight, trying to remember exactly, but I think it was round about January, was it? February, we went to the port. And we went down there, and, well, we saw goods being unloaded, we saw things being opened, we checked some procedures, and we even learned that there are some large companies or importers that send a representative to the port to be there on the spot when the NRCS says we have a problem. They say, hang on, what problem? Don't we have any on this paper? So it would appear as if systems are in place that they said they would put in place. But the reality is we continue to get complaints raised. Now, we need to address these. We have indicated last year and early this year with the oversight that we would continue to track it. The matter will just go in the first instance. We will approach the ETI formally on this through DG just to address the matter to see what the issues are. They may come back and then you'll see whether or not we can put this in to the program that we have, because we've got very little time, as we know, before we rise in the end of May. Then, the other matter we need to look at, if you look at your programs here, you'll see the meeting Tuesday, Wednesday, you see that we are joining the Standing Committee on Finance. You remember, we started off with transfer pricing. We will be joining them at that meeting, 9 o'clock to 1300, especially with respect to the assets flows, base erosion, etc., as a committee. So those of you, I'm not sure, but perhaps Mr. Sheldon or Mr. Medina, you know what the program is in the plenary. It is not an ETC matter, but we will look at that. But that is the schedule of finance, you see, and remember that's where this issue is. Then on the 15th of May, that is the Friday that we are meeting. The 13th of May, or perhaps it was a disinclination to look at Friday the 13th, one of the two. But the reality is, we've got the National Consumer Regulator. Do you remember that issue came up? And we said we must address this before we rose in May. So then there's engagement with yourselves again, the NR, National Regulator, no, on the NRCX. Okay. Now we need to bring back the National Credit Regulator as yourselves. We also asked you to go and engage with stakeholders. That won't take 2 days to set up. We know that. You'll need a bit of time. So today being the 3rd and the 4th, you'll be here again on the 4th, you'll have, as it were, about 10 days, hopefully, to 2 weeks to do that. Before returning to us, you follow. Now, earlier on, as this, when I opened up the committee, I said that we were advised that we can use a constituency day. Do you remember saying this? So we would like women myself to just check with staff, consult on matter, and propose a day tomorrow that we may all be able to attend. That's in order. So that would get to a point with the National Credit Regulator, where we have a firm position, where the minister takes it on board, because we may be asking him to regulate on this matter. And then getting us ready towards going for an amendment to the principal legislation. So just so that we're all clear there, if we need more time for the National Credit Regulator, you need to be able to also come and inform us on that one, CEO, and we'll work it out on our side. One thing which I've left last, and that has got to be fitted in. It's a remote gambling bill. Tomorrow, when it is consideration, we really need to bring this up again. Yes, it's been there a long time, and I'm very pleased we were the first committee in which the new procedure for private members legislation came on. And we had the esteemed colleague and MP, Ariane Amistini, Mario, the Honourable, the late Honourable, who was a lawyer in his own right. And we were able to go through those steps as a learning curve, as well as being able to set the pace clearly in Parliament. And as I always recall, we appreciated that while we turned it down in terms of taking the whole bill through, we nevertheless took account of at least one of the clauses. I think there were only two with some such, to say this has got to be factored in. And we put that forward and ensured it was. So there are many ways of looking at legislation. Do we go for the whole piece? Do we go for part of it? Are there aspects that are really essential to retain? Now that we have a policy, does it agree with the policy? Is it in line with that policy? So certainly that is coming tomorrow, and we need to consider the desirability of that bill before we rise, per se. Right? So we're not doing it today, I'm just alerting you to the process. And I would hope that all of you have got that bill. Is there anyone here who would need another copy to have it for them tomorrow? All right. Bring them, everyone. We all got that there. Now, on that note, that would end, as it were, committee business. But let me just see from the list, Honourable Mantas.
So I see consistency in our sitting on Wednesday.
Yes.
Is there a program on the Wednesday of the 18th of May that is jumped to the 20th of May?
No, we will raise this in Manco. Thank you. Because I think I said earlier, we are sitting every Tuesday and Wednesday. It could be that was going to be a huge Manco day. But before, Manco will need to go through everything to close off and say what is outstanding for what amounts to September, October, November, 3.5 months. And can we finish that? We need to do that with the ETI to see what legislation is coming in, do you think? So it's those issues. But I don't want to preempt what the Secretariat will tell me. Yes, and somebody else had a hand. I think it was the
Just to comment on the two issues you raised, the one about the localization and the NLC, yes. On the localization, yes, I think as you indicated, and I think we really support your decision to hold that colloquium on that. I think if we could try to just invite the major stakeholders in this issue, especially the manufacturing circle, and then also the all the SOEs, as you say, or the larger SOEs, and then the big, like, Transnet, Eskom, Prasa, those ones, and then the big government department that are procurers, like Department of Defense, Department of Health, and so on. Because as you know, that is the quickest and cheapest way of creating jobs sustainably. And so we support that. On the question of the NLCS, Madam Chair, I'm not sure which other issues you're referring to, but as I indicated, there is, I know that disciplinary action is being taken in the NLCS as we speak. That is one against managers who are aware of the allegations of corruption and other matters. And as I said, obviously the normal, what we would suggest in those cases is we very strict about labor regulations. So people have a recourse if they feel there's unfair disciplinary action being taken. They've got the CCMA, they've got the labor board, and so on. So I wouldn't, as I said, if it's that matter, we can just give you that in writing, and so on. If there's issues of business raising something about the performance of the LCS, I think they definitely, we will immediately come before the committee to explain those things. But as I said, we are worried that, as you know, whenever we do have a policy in DDI, the Ministry insists on zero tolerance for corruption. So whenever we do find any clear evidence of it, we do act. And of course, members always have a pushback. All of a sudden, once we take disciplinary action, all of a sudden, there's anonymous letters, there's running to the newspapers, and so on. And I think we mustn't, as we put it, to abuse the parliament processes for disciplinary matters. So we prefer that labor dispute to be dealt with by, when we take disciplinary action, we must be allowed to, and the management must be allowed to take those steps.
Thank you very much. So just for your benefit, Honourable Hill Lewis, because you just popped out there, that was dealing with the NRC, is indicating that some of the managers there have been, they have been not suspended yet, but they are inquiring. The status process is underway in a manner in relation to what would you call them, kind of charge?
So it's misconduct. Misconduct, and there's suspensions as well, or I mean, there's forensic reports and all these things.
But here we are, given that, as the DG said, trading industry are currently in that process which enables and allows that those involved have the opportunity to respond. They have a recourse, they can respond. And they can resort to measures which even include the CCMA, labor, other labor courts, etc. So that is underway as we talk. And we will just, it'll be there in the committee tomorrow just to ensure that those members who were not here today have that opportunity to just have for us to brief them on the matter. Right. On that particular note, I am informed by the committee secretary, Mr. Medina, that the program he has does have the 18th of May. No. The previous one didn't that I had, but here it does, and we must just ensure members have the right program. On that particular note, members, we will distribute minutes and we will try and adopt them one or two in each meeting as we proceed to the end of May. But on that note, please, can we get, yes, on all your notes?
Okay, the meeting on the feedback to the NCT has dropped off, right, on the pleasures?
It certainly is, yeah. But Mr. Medina, can you just, put some light on the issue of the venue tomorrow? Tomorrow being Wednesday, it's see where that is. Go and look for it. To be confirmed, is that M514? It is M by 1 4 tomorrow. M by 1 4. Thank you very much, members. Meeting adjourned.